How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
This is the iPod in the dining room. iPod. Welcome to the second funniest podcast. I am your host, the Kevin Miller, with my wonderful super host, the Justin Warsham.
Hello, everyone.
Your voice is still out?
Yeah.
It's been an entire week and your voice is still out.
And
your baby talks more than you.
Yeah, Jacob, say my voice hurts.
Farsi.
I'm sorry, was that a dirty word?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't.
He said Farsi.
He's learning an all new language. Here we are in episode 245 of the second funniest podcast. And yes, Justin's voice is still lemiss. What are you doing to take care of your voice?
Lots of hot tea.
Yeah.
I'm about to switch up from hot tea to throat coat.
Ooh. You haven't been using throat coat yet?
I have. No, I have.
Oh, okay, good.
That's why it's as good as it is now.
Oh.
I know this may sound... I don't think it sounds as bad, but it doesn't hurt to do this.
Oh, okay.
But it does dry out.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want it to dry out.
I mean, I could probably do some throat coat and muscle through.
You know, maybe you just say things every now and then.
Okay.
Because our guest tonight is the lovely, the sexy, amazingly hot, the woman that I think about when I'm having sex with my wife.
Oh, really?
Catherine Smethurst.
Hello.
I should mention that we got an email from her father and he now listens.
He does listen?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What does he
kidding.
Say? Oh, there it is. Kat, welcome to the show.
Ooh, thank you.
Kat, welcome to the show. There it is. Yeah. Okay, calm down. Calm down. That's enough from the peanut gallery. You guys are wacky. Oh, you're so sexy.
Oh, so sexy.
Okay, good one. All right.
Are you getting good at those?
Yeah, they all kind of go in order, right? Hilarious joke. And the show's over.
That was fast.
Thanks. All right. Kat, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
What's it like to be on a podcast?
It's good.
It's good. Working out well for you.
Have you been on a podcast before?
You have been on this podcast a couple times before. Actually, this would be like the fifth time, I think,
you've
been on the podcast.
Maybe the third.
Okay. Thanks for the math. What do you think of our podcast?
I like it.
Uh-huh. What do you like about it?
I like your banter back and forth.
Jacob is testing 1, 2, 3
and empty into microphone stand.
Thanks, buddy. He's two.
He's the sports guy.
We'll get to the weather in a moment, sports guy. Great. We'll connect with you when we want to count to three. And now here's Jacob to count to three for us.
1, 2, 3.
All right, and
good
back
job.
To us. What about the banter do you enjoy?
It's very natural.
Oh.
You guys are very, you're not staged.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
put the mic away and you act like that in real life. Always secondly funny.
Who do you think we're second funniest to?
Whoever else is in the room.
Oh, we're the second funniest people in the room.
Yes.
So right now, are you the first funniest person
Probably.
In the room?
Probably. Oh, it's a tie between Jacob and I.
So you're the first funniest and then we're the
female.
Second funniest.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob's not a female.
No, I said I'm the first funniest female
oh, got
in
it.
The room.
You guys are like married, like the presidents? Is that the...
No, you and I are married. Forgot
no,
that quickly.
This is pretty much what it's like at our home as well. Kat, you live here in Los Angeles.
I do.
How long have you lived in L.A.?
4 years.
Wow, 4 years. And you are an actor, right? You're, you're
and
a big...
Model.
And a model.
Singer, I'm in a band.
Yeah.
Waitress.
Mm, so all of these things are not true.
Correct.
How do you survive in LA? How is it that you're a normal human being living in a town filled with people with headshots and resumes?
I work at a bank
mm-hmm.
and I'm a receptionist.
What's it like though to be around people that are all artists and self-absorbed with their own career. And last week I spent an hour listening to a guy talk about how great he was at voiceover. What's that like? I mean, you don't have any desire to be an artist. You don't have any desire, or you're an artist because you're a photographer, but you don't have any desire to put together a portfolio and go hammer the magazine racks and try to get a staff photography job. Those are not career goals for you. So what's it like to be in a city with people that are all trying to do that?
I would say sometimes it's frustrating to see them chase after not just a career, but sort of a life goal like that. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I disbelieve their intentions for wanting to do it. Mm. I feel like they say it's because they love acting and the art of acting. But sometimes it feels like a lot of people in this town are after the fame and the money and the recognition, which
and
is
that's
understandable.
Bad. That's wrong.
To an extent, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very self-absorbed and yeah. I enjoy movies. Yeah, I like going.
Backtrack. You like going to movies? Or?
Yeah, so it's not a worthy goal, but mm-hmm. I think the way people strive to attain it sometimes can be, my mic.
That's okay. We've got plenty. You can just break it.
Kind of ruthless and using each other and one-upping and lots of networking.
Mm.
And
like
whenever...
using a person to get to something.
Correct.
And have you felt that? Have you felt people avoid you because you don't have a connection? Or do you feel like people will sometimes use you for something?
No, I don't feel like they avoid me, but I guess I see it with other people. I hear people talk about it a lot that they're frustrated with that. Mm. I find it a little difficult because I'm not in the industry. So a lot of times when I hang out with people, they'll talk about it because it's their craft and I don't understand any reference point that they're discussing. And the industry is what we call it in this town, whether that's behind the camera, in front of the camera, behind a book, in front of a book.
Yeah. How are you in front of a book?
Well,
what's behind a book like? I don't understand that analogy.
Read it behind the book.
Okay. So you get paid for that? Is that... A job?
You could, yeah, if you're a book reviewer.
Oh, hey, well, you pulled that out at the last second.
Snap.
You got that. Now, so LA has the industry. Did your hometown back in Virginia have the industry? Where's anybody in the industry?
No, but I left my hometown for college. Mm-hmm. So the industry I was in was high school.
Was that their chief export?
Yes. And import.
I came here to go to this high school. I heard they have a really good basketball program.
Yeah. Oh, we did. No, I don't know. No ball sports.
So, and where did you go to college?
James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
What's their mascot?
The Dukes. The Duke dog.
The Duke of Earl?
It's a little, like, pit bull looking dog.
Adorable.
It's kind of non-intimidating. And then our cheer was... At football games and stuff, we say JMU Dukes, which when you have an entire stadium saying that, it sounds like you're saying JMU boo, like you're booing yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Not very peppy. So,
or even better, if you could know what they're sounding, it sounds like they're saying do like poop.
Yeah.
JMU poop.
The doo doo dog.
Yeah. Dumb JMU. And is it like a little cute, fluffy bulldog? Is it like got a perm?
No, he's got
poodle?
Like wrinkles in his face, and he's always squatting, not in a poop position, but like sitting as a
JMU squatters. JMU chocolate pile on the front yard.
Wow. Yeah.
I'd like to see that stitched on the back of every.
I'm sure you could somewhere.
Probably.
Sell it to the rival schools.
Oh, nice. JMU crap.
Am I offended? I didn't know where you were going with that.
What word ends with crap?
Inside joke.
Well, it's not really. It's everybody's joke.
Well, that's true. If they watch the episode.
Of?
Community!
And is that...
You should tune in.
Why? Why should we watch
it's
Community,
so
Catherine
good.
Miller?
Yeah? So good.
Go on. Tell me more. Why do you like it?
It's kind of like Friends in that it's a group of six people, I believe. Mm-hmm. Three guys, three girls, because that naturally happens in life, that you fall into pairings with the exact same number of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. Same number of black to white people.
Yes.
Yep.
And, and they're in a community college from all different walks of life, which is funny. Let me turn it down.
That's fine. Okay. Can we all hear Monsters, Inc.? He's gone, isn't he? Justin's completely gone.
He went upstairs.
He just left us down here. We can do anything we want in their house.
Let's and
we
can sex on their couch.
Yeah, because we're married.
Yeah. Or let's finish the podcast.
Okay, can we do it on the podcast?
No. Do you have some boundaries?
That would be
in
your
his
one.
House when he's upstairs is one thing, but live on the air.
It's going to tape. It's completely acceptable.
Oh, all right. Well, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, my
that's
pastor
right.
listens to this podcast.
That's right, folks. I've married a winner.
He did our premarital counseling. He would be in support.
He would be, him and his wife would both be like, this is great. Yeah. Although I don't think they'd listen.
No.
That's probably my guess.
Yeah. So next topic.
So you like Community.
I do.
Yeah.
I do like Community. I like Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Why do you like Parenthood?
Show. It reminds me of I'm one of five kids.
Mm. It reminds you of that? Do you forget?
I do.
How many children? How
I
many
do kind of
you?
Living out here because I have one cousin that lives out here,
yeah.
And it's just me. But my whole life, I grew up with aunts and uncles and grandparents that lived 5-10 minutes down the road.
Oh yeah, a little family knot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we get together quite frequently throughout the year. So yeah, I'm used to the busyness and kind of people in and out and going to sports activities and driving to this and driving to that and having jobs and working out car situations, you know, all the craziness of a big family. So I like the show for that reason and the camaraderie, and I feel like it's...
How do you spell that?
C-O-M-R-A-D-E-R-I-E?
I don't think so, but well done.
Really? How do you spell it?
I don't think it's got an I-E at the end.
Camaraderie? A Y?
I think it's a Y, but I'm a terrible speller.
You are, actually.
Aww.
But that's not to say you're wrong in this instance.
Or ever.
It's true.
So, so it reminds you of home. Do you have is Coach your grandfather? Is that...
slightly. My grandfather worked for the FBI for...
Oh.
My dad's father worked for the FBI for, I don't know how many years, quite a few.
Yeah.
Back in like the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad and my grandfather would tell us stories.
In the 50s and 60s? During like, that was sort of the prime years for the FBI.
I believe it was then. Well, my dad was born in the 50s, so I'm assuming.
Probably. Well, it could. Oh, your dad was.
Because my dad had stories of him.
Yeah.
And
thanks. Yeah, we all know the recorder. You're going to adjust it. You're doing a good job. You're doing a great job. This is always. Oh, look! This cup is on the edge of the table. I'm
going
to describe it in infinite detail.
We're going to describe what's really going on, and that's that you don't like me touching your stuff.
Thanks for calling it out. So, talk about that. What's it like to have a granddad? What kind of FBI stories does he got from the 50s? Did he know J. Edgar Hoover? Did he wear his dresses?
I don't know. But he was in D.C. That's where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
So one time he told me a story that there was a bomb that exploded. Can I say bomb?
Yes, we're not in an airport.
There's no security.
It's a radio. Folks, just as a disclaimer, if you're broadcasting this podcast inside an airport, turn this part down because we're going to say the word bomb.
Probably
and terrorist.
30 seconds.
Bomb okay. Terrorist.
So there's a bomb that went off in
terrorist.
A plane.
Oh, a bomb on a plane.
It exploded all over this, like in the mountains. And so he and his team, their job was
what
to
mountains
pick up,
in the United States?
I don't know. I
like
was
Rockies,
really young
Appalachians.
When I heard this. So I don't know.
So
probably
he could be making it up.
He could be.
Could be a movie
could
that
be.
He saw. Here's your granddad.
So they had to go and pick up all the scraps of the plane and essentially put it back together so they could figure
really?
Out how the bomb went off and where, what part of the plane it came from and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. So it was like early CSI kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably.
And were they successful?
Don't remember that part of this. Probably. I was really young when he told me.
You were too busy staring at My Little Pony.
Yes.
Which is
my
code
dad,
for the wall. Go on. You were on a timeout in that story.
Yeah, there you go.
You got in, you got offended.
why am I staring at a wall in my childhood?
I don't know.
Just because I don't know all your media references.
My Little Pony?
Did no, you... I know that, but I didn't have it.
Okay.
I wanted Talking Barbie.
Oh, like Teddy Ruxkin?
And I loved Polly Pocket.
Nice. Those are the mini micro machines for girls.
Yes.
I like Polly Pocket. I thought it was pretty dope. She had a little house and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd play with those.
Sets?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're pretty great. Why can't boys like architecture and environments?
True.
I just would have had them, you know, build bombs and blow up airplanes. Poopy.
Wow.
So the FBI and your granddad. That's
yes. And then my dad told me that the only time he ever saw his dad cry He even saw my granddad come home one night with a nail in his foot. He had stepped on like some nail and saw him pull it out, didn't even cry. The one night he cried was the night he came home and his partner had been shot and killed.
Wow.
It was in a, I think they were in like a, doing a stakeout.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it? Yep. Mm-hmm. Depends on what they were doing. Were they waiting for steak?
No.
Then
they
yes.
were outside a house. Yeah, exactly. and I think my grandfather went like around the front and the other guy went around the back and the person wow. inside was at the part where his partner was. So
wow.
Yeah.
So that could have been the other way around too. It sounds
could
like
have,
they
yeah.
could have gone the other way.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
My life could be very different because of that.
Where you were, your father was already born though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you would have, you might have existed.
Yes, but maybe emotionally I would be different.
Sure, and maybe your dad wouldn't have been ready to meet your mom.
He might not have beat me so much.
Probably not.
And
or maybe more, could have beat you
true.
More.
That's
or could
true.
Have beat you with money.
Yeah.
Like giving you money.
Yeah,
dads
why?
Can do that
why
sometimes.
Not?
Beat you. Here's a $5 bill. Oh, ow, ow. So I have several questions for you. It's
okay.
like it's like I've never talked to you ever
I know.
Before.
Put this a mic great. In front of us and it's like, who are you?
I don't know. I don't know what's your face look. You want to make out later?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you like 30 Rock. Or no, you don't like 30 Rock, but you
I've
like
never
Parenthood.
Really watched it.
You should. It's very funny.
Parenthood.
And you like
Community.
So you're all about the NBC shows.
I am.
So
yes.
I assume you like The Office.
I do love The Office.
Okay, that was a leading question because I knew it. Because when we first started dating, I knew
I
was going to be
it
into
every
you.
Thursday night.
Well, I knew you were going to be a candidate worth dating because you like The Office.
Oh,
in
really?
Fact, yeah. I never told you that because you know, on Facebook, it tells you all the things that stalkers need to know about
yes.
their bait that
course,
they're seeking. And because you like The Office and could quote it, I assumed that you had my sense of humor and that you knew all the same sort of funny things that I knew and loved. And here it turns out you never watched The Simpsons before or Frasier or a lot of real staple
Seinfeld?
Shows.
Do you watch Seinfeld?
No, okay. I don't really care for Seinfeld. I would watch it. I've seen it, but I was not an addict for it.
Yeah.
But that you didn't watch 30 Rock or any of those shows. So what about The Office draws you to it? I can tell. Either that or the podcast stopped working.
I think the humor is different than I've seen on a lot of shows. The
you haven't watched anything. You didn't watch The Simpsons.
Okay, The Simpsons and The Office are not the two only comedies on TV, though.
Oh, there's The Cosby Show. That's true.
True.
You got
I
me
grew
there.
Up watching that.
Did you really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. The humor's, I guess what I mean is the humor's not obvious. It's not like cracking jokes or physical comedy.
Wise cap. Yeah.
It's,
they're not all a bunch of Chandler Bing.
It's embarrassing, idiotic.
Awkwardness.
Yes,
yeah,
awkwardness.
Yeah.
Thank you.
irony.
I did that on purpose. No,
liar. You're a terrible liar.
But just what Jim does to Dwight
mm-hmm.
and the way Michael acts is just uncomfortable to watch, which my brother has a hard time watching
yeah.
when he first started. But I don't know. I love it because as soon as you start to get angry with them, then they get upset and then you instantly feel sorry for them because they're kind of like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really seem to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, you're awkward, but okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
And do you ever, who do you on that show do you like the most that you'd want to take home and cuddle with them? And when they're having an awkward day at the office.
This is an awkward question. I don't want to cuddle with any of them.
All right. Who do you like
Michael
the most?
Scott. I go back and forth. I think I like Jim. But then other times, I'm like, oh, I like Dwight. I think it's their relationship together, which is why I like them.
That's good.
Jim is very cool and pulls off the
He's
pranks,
like a Mac,
but
and Dwight's like a PC.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Jim wouldn't be funny if it weren't for Dwight's reactions. So
that's true.
There you go.
And vice versa.
Yes.
Well, I was looking forward to having this conversation with my co-host, Justin Worsham, the comedy extraordinaire, but his voice is broken for weeks now. So maybe you and I can have this conversation as a preliminary, and then next week, Justin and I can really get into I had a whole project I wanted us to do.
Okay.
But you can do some of the early conversation for it, kind of lay the groundwork. We all know that Steve Carell is leaving The Office at the end of this year.
Yes.
But they are pretty much guaranteed another season, an eighth season, without Steve Carell. It begs the question, who is going to take the job of regional manager for Dunder Mifflin Sabre?
Or will someone take the job?
Ooh, well, all right. Right out of the box, thinking out of the box. Catherine Miller.
What would happen if someone didn't take his place? You know, what's that lady in Florida that keeps coming up?
Yeah, some actress that's important. Yeah, okay, what about? Yeah. You're suggesting...
What if she did it remotely? I guess you have to have a manager.
Well, let's explore that thought for a moment. What if they spend the last season trying to find a replacement for it?
Because they keep going through people.
Or even...
typical of jobs of multiple turnovers of managers.
Yeah, or just not get anybody into that position. Like, they're always... They have an interim person there.
Yeah.
We've had that... I've seen that a lot in jobs where they just don't find somebody. They're like, well, we're waiting. They could maybe buy their time. Okay. So we'll leave that as an option. Nobody.
Okay.
Or weekly guest spots. Is that what you're suggesting? Like, every week or every 2 or 3 weeks. The final season of Scrubs, Courtney Cox showed up, and she was the chief of medicine for the first two episodes. It was just a guest appearance, and then she went away. But it was a great addition to the cast. Oh,
like
it was good Foley. You practice this at home?
No, I just did that for the first time. That's how you do it.
It was good. It was good. What else you got? Octopus? Let me hear octopus.
That's all I got.
Giraffe. Let me hear giraffe. None of these are animals that are known for making sounds,
like robots.
And yet they're pretty normal, yeah. Pretty noticeable sounds. Kids, do you hear the octopuses?
Sounds kind of like a seal.
Oh, thanks for criticizing.
Or a walrus, maybe I'm thinking.
Or. So, what would you think of the show? Who would you like to see on the cast? Promoted.
You and I talked about this, I think, the other week, because I was thinking of people that would be good in the position. For instance, Pam, or not to be racist, what is the black guy's name?
Daryl on the show.
Someone
Craig
like
Craig Robbins is his real name.
Craig Robbins. But you pointed out that the reason the show is funny is because Michael is the boss and he's very awkward.
And he's an idiot.
Yes. So...
And everybody's forced
to
deal with an idiot in charge.
Yes. So I would think that they would have to fill that position with someone that has that kind of character. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think you said this earlier, it'd be boring to watch. It would be an office with a job that regulates,
or a
manager that regulates.
If Pam's in charge, which does kind of make sense.
Because she's already promoted herself.
Yeah, there's no tension involved in the in the thing. There, she'll make normal decisions. She won't run ridiculous meetings. I think the same, we've seen Jim being in charge for a full season. He didn't do anything. He just made poor choices as a manager, but he wasn't funny as a manager.
They could do Jim because now Dwight is the building owner.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be tension between the manager and the building owner.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. You could be. Seems very sitcom-y, but yeah, that's possible.
Or they could bring Holly back.
Yeah. And she would be she would go from HR to head of the department.
Oh, good call.
It could happen. I think she's good. Did you say JK?
Yeah, just kidding.
JK. Like, this is an I am. LOL.
This was actually once called the JK show.
Oh, wow. Thanks for schooling me on my own show. Wow.
I just thought of that.
Did you listen to it?
Justin and Kevin. I did.
No,
it
stood for
dating.
Stood for Joanne Rowling.
No,
JK, we love
Harry
Potter.
I love Harry Potter.
Yeah, I know you do.
Came out last week. Should we talk about the movie that we saw?
Yes. It was
Let's
so
not
great.
Ruin it for the viewers.
Okay. Ooh, time travel, time bomb, bomb on plane. I'm going to blow up a plane. Was that a confession? I probably shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
It's probably not a good idea.
We'll edit that out.
Okay, so other candidates.
What are your
thoughts on The Office? Yeah, you're on the no-fly list. Justin, do you have opinions on who should take over as boss for The Office once Steve Carell steps down? We're brainstorming. Yeah, I think your mic's off.
I think I shouldn't do it because I don't know how to operate the equipment.
Yeah.
And you lose your voice a lot.
And I do. I think they're either going to have to bring in somebody new.
You think they'll do like a Portia de Grassi or somebody else?
Yeah. I
for one season, though?
Sure.
No, well, I don't know if this will be the last season. I think that they're going to plan on it being at least a one and done thing or something and see how it goes. But if it goes great, then they'll just replace her.
Mm-hmm.
Replace Steve Carell, but I think he's going to either take another character. The only, I heard what you guys were saying. I think the only other person that could step into that would be maybe Dwight.
Yeah.
you know?
He would be the crazy one that would impose a lot of ridiculous rules. Yeah. We've seen him be in charge before. It was pretty funny, but it was very extreme.
That's what I think the problem with Dwight taking that role is that what makes him funny is how extreme he is. Mm-hmm. What makes Michael funny is that he is extreme, but he's also lazy. Right. So he doesn't, you don't see his crazy go to the full extent like you would expect. It has to happen with Dwight.
And his whole shtick is that he needs people to love him.
He needs
validation. You have this manager that's using the job for the wrong things. Nobody else on that program thinks like that, with the exception of maybe Andy. We've seen him do that a little, especially early Andy was like that.
That's what makes me think. I think that they have to bring in somebody else who can walk that perfect line of filling the archetype that Steve Carell created with Michael, but not do the exact same thing. Because if it repeats, if it's the same person, then everybody's kind of be like, oh, they're just, you know what I mean?
And that's what I think. That's what I think the show would be bad if they do that. Because you can't not recreate the wheel. You bring in Portia de Grassi, you bring in somebody to be this awkward manager, and no matter what, it's all going to feel like, oh, we've already seen. What are the odds that they get another manager?
They brought in Tony Hale.
That would be great. I'd vote for Tony Hale.
I thought that was the name of a character on the show, but then I remember that's the guy from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
You guys know or whatever.
Yeah.
Or what if they're thinking of all these ideas we're saying, but they listen to this podcast? And they're like, well, crap, the public is guessing it. So now, after we have this podcast,
you just got Tony Hale fired.
Rewrite everything.
Oh, nice.
Kind of did.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony Hale would be a really good choice, actually. That'd be an interesting.
See, that's what, because he could pull off the kind of insecure, over the top, like neurotic, which would be fun to see in that dynamic. But I also think that something that would be fun to see is to have it start off. Be like, oh, maybe this guy is going to be normal.
Right.
And then the reveal of something unbelievably weird and crazy and psycho.
Oh, that's true.
And Tony Hale kind of has a thing. Well, Gabe kind of does a very similar shtick to what Tony Hale is known for doing on shows like Arrested Development. But I have faith. I guess I have hope, really, that they will. Yes, we can. That they will make a choice that is different than every other show. That when the Ropers leave, they brought in Mr. Furley. And when I'm trying to think of another show where this has happened.
What show was that?
That's from Three's Company. Come on.
Oh,
come on. Come on. What's wrong with you?
Okay. Yes.
What about also Chrissy on Three's Company? And then all the different daughters they brought in on Roseanne.
Right.
Although
Roseanne's
a bad example because nobody knows.
Right.
Hey, I used to watch her in college.
But the Roseanne and all the different. Well, Chrissy on Three's Company, they just kept getting new blonde women, but at least the blondes had different personalities. The last one was the super hot blonde. Then there was the really ditzy blonde is the one they kicked off. And then there was the clumsy blonde.
They all have names. Character?
No, they all had different. And they knew each other.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Terry, I think, was the last blonde. On Roseanne, it was different people playing the same character, much like on your favorite show.
Dr. Quinn.
The medicine woman.
Brought in Colleen.
So my hope is that they will find, that they will redevelop the dynamic of the show and put somebody else into that power seat and make it work. And I think they just need to fill out other areas. Imagine the show where Craig Robinson's in charge, the really unemotional, relaxed, strict, dry black guy leading an office full of white people. What would that show look like? I pitch that to you.
Benson.
Yeah, see, it's good. It works. Everybody's all wacky and weird, and he's like, seriously, can we just get things moving along? Could work? No?
I like it.
Not the same. Of course you do. You love me.
No, I like Daryl.
Who do you like more?
It depends on the night.
Wait, do you think
Thursday night, it's always Daryl. Because let's be honest, once you go black, you never go back.
Especially him. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
I think I saw him on a plane once.
Natalie and I saw him at the ice house. He hit on her.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. It was.
Were you married at the time?
Yes. It was also part of the show.
Yeah. Oh,
he was up there with his band and everything, and he did some song about how he wanted her panties.
Mm. Oh, nice. Yeah. What about Kelly? What if Kelly ran the show and she was in charge? Kelly?
I don't think she has enough material as it is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Kelly,
I think she's a writer on the show.
She is a writer, yeah. She's nutty. She's insecure. She's gone through that corporate class to wear nice business suits. She's Indian, so it's kind of a different angle.
Do you think that's why they introduced the idea of Gabe? Did you guys already talk about that?
No, I did suspect that, but it just seems like I don't think people will accept him as being in charge. It's an obvious answer.
Well, what I'm saying is because he could continue, he could just maintain his existing role, which is I want everybody to like me and I want the ship to sail smoothly so that corporate doesn't know what's going on because then my ass is on the line. Without him, but at the same time, he doesn't interrupt the interaction. You know what I mean?
That would
make
the most sense.
You could rely on characters like Andy and Dwight and Jim and Angela and all that stuff to stir the pot.
Yeah.
And then he could just fill that role of having a boss within an office.
And he just doesn't, he has about as many storylines as he has now.
Wow, yeah.
He just doesn't.
It gets to the point where instead of right now where Steve Carell is the star of the show.
He's the A storyline.
That it becomes more of an ensemble type thing like Modern Family is where you have four people.
Yeah.
That are kind of carrying
the show. I think that makes sense. That seems like what they are trying to do. I'll buy that. But I do think other viable candidates would be BJ Novak or Ryan to move back into that role.
He could fill the role of being extremely pompous and trying.
Because he did it already back in season four.
Exactly. Yeah. He trying not to be impacted by them, but then we get to see how they do whatever. They walk all over him.
Yeah.
And maybe he's kind of oblivious to that. I don't know.
Yeah, that could work. Or a show where Pam's in charge would be interesting. Or what's the big black guy's character's name? I can't
Stanley?
Think. Stanley. What if he was in charge?
But those people are all salespeople. I don't know. Because I was thinking Dwight, but because he's such a good salesperson. Yeah. But sales is very different than managing.
Well, that's where Michael Scott's character came from.
I do like what Kat brings to the table to this conversation is the actual logistics of who would be the best person. Like, we're thinking of what would make a most interesting show. I like that dynamic of who really deserves the job.
Yeah, who would you? Okay, let's take it from reality, the reality of the show then. You're Gabe.
Hands down, it's got to be Dwight.
You think you would just.
He's the best performer. He's probably the most qualified on paper. I don't think anybody who has a job where they work under someone would all agree that if you have a boss, they're not the smartest person to be in charge, but they're the ones that make sense for whatever reason.
I mean, they made that clear. That's how Michael Scott got the job. He was the best on paper as a salesman, so they promoted him to manager.
Yeah,
so,
that would be Dwight.
Yeah, then.
Except,
all right.
What was Packer's job when he was?
He's a road salesman.
Oh, okay.
He still is. And then they brought in Pretty Boy this past week. And so maybe he'll become the new manager.
Timothy Oliphant, also a Beyer High School graduate from Modesto, California.
That's right. What if he became the new manager? Maybe that's why they're bringing him in.
I want to know what happened to Justified, because he was the star of a series on FX, and then he shows up on The Office, and I don't know if that show's been canceled or
maybe
not.
Maybe he got eaten by the bear. there's a website that has the bear, and they talk about what shows will be canceled. They call it the cancellation bear, and you can run, but you can't hide from the cancellation bear. It'll eat them. Yeah, it mentions the shows that are going to be eaten by the bear. The Chase is the one that's on the block. Like, it knows that the bear will catch the Chase before the end of the season. All right, so let's place our bets. I think this is very exciting.
I need a few more weeks to think about it.
Yeah, me too. I just mean place your bets now.
No, I need a few more weeks before I place my bets.
Okay, when the show is announced, what they're going to do, or at the end of the season?
Are we in the beginning of the season right now?
We're probably, seven or eight episodes
When does the new one start? Next fall or in the spring?
It'd start next fall. Yeah. We got Steve Carell for the rest of this year.
We've got plenty of time to guess.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they gotta move on it.
Once it's halfway through the season, we should start guessing.
All right, so episode 13.
William Baldwin.
Get another Baldwin on this?
Yeah.
Now that would be cool. You know, Steve Carell did kind of wear his hair like a Baldwin in the first season there. He had it slicked back.
I say you make it an all Baldwin Thursday night.
Oh, that'd be good.
Take him away from Parenthood. He's contributing next to nothing.
Yeah, take him away from there. Yeah, that's true.
He's just mucking up Sally's life.
Really?
Sarah?
What did I say?
Sally.
Oh.
I can't. It's hard to understand you, though, underneath that pool of water in your throat.
Oh, gosh. I just finished reading what is it called? Trade paperback? Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
Of Iron Man Legacy to my son.
Just now? Why did you do that?
Because he likes it, and I'm a stupid dad.
You should stop talking right now.
Have a show this weekend?
I got throat coat coming. Yeah, I got to do a college show up in Lancaster on Friday.
Are you going to talk like that the whole time?
But by the time they're hearing this, it's already before Thanksgiving. Did you guys talk about? I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Thanksgiving
Yay! Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That's right. What do you all? What do you guys?
Do they say Merry Thanksgiving in England?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And really? They also say Hop a Trolley. They don't have Thanksgiving in
what?
England.
I love how they say Merry Christmas.
Wait, hold on. How do they celebrate?
I mean, Happy Christmas.
<I'm>
we say Merry Christmas.
How do they celebrate giving syphilis to Indians then in England? How do they celebrate that?
They call that Idiot's Day or Rebellion Month. Happy Rebellion Month. Right, England people? Right, Catherine?
Yeah. I'm not. Actually, I'm part English.
All right, you look it. That's
English,
probably why
French,
I'm attracted to you.
Scottish, German, Irish.
Mm-hmm. You're just listing countries now.
I'm a European mutt.
Keep going. This is fascinating.
That's all I know. I just found out that I was part French like last year.
Which part of you?
You'll find out later.
What does that even mean?
Whoa. I don't know.
I understand. All right, married woman.
Yes.
You spend your 25 years of your life waiting for a husband as awesome and incredible as me. And then I show up and it's even better than your expectations. How is married life different from single life?
Everything I think about, I have to adjust it for two people instead of one, which is interesting. I kind of thought that I would click in. It would all just click as soon as you get married. And over the past couple of weeks, I've been thinking, oh, maybe one day I'd like to move to, I don't know, Nashville. Oh, that'd be fun for a few years. And like, oh, I'm married. Right. So
yeah, I read that on your blog, by the way.
Did you really? Is this a real story?
Yeah, I have.
You wrote on your blog.
I did write that on my blog.
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
November 5th.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Did you? Wow, there's a lot going on here. So you wrote on your blog that you would
calm down, you have a show Friday.
I know. You wrote on your blog. All I could do is Sam Elliott. I should have been on last week with Mick Winger. We could have had Sam Elliott talking to everyone in heaven.
To everybody else.
Yeah.
And then my guy would have been there too, asking these questions.
Sam Elliott's gay redneck assistant. What's that? I'm trying to, the only quote I could think of is from Adam Carolla's show where they always play that soundbite of Sam. Why the hell do you have to cuss so much? But so you said you had the thought on your blog, I want to move to Nashville.
And it was part of
you were like,
blog.
I can't because I got to get married.
Not that I was already married.
I'm sorry. I said
can't
you got to get married. Yeah.
Pick up and move whenever I want or quit a job and try and find something new or everything has to be or buy what I want in Target because I'm thinking, oh, I should consult Kevin first.
That's so. Now, do you have the same issue or no, Kevin?
How dare you?
Not always.
Give me a chance to react.
Aww, okay, you react.
Yes, I do have that same issue. Thank you. No, we just had this conversation recently because I wanted to get the Move, PS's version of the Kinect and the Wii controller, the interactive thing. And I thought about it and decided not to, but I made the mistake of telling Kat I decided not to get the Move today. And she read that as to say that I was about to buy it and decided not to. When really I meant to say I was considering asking you whether or not I should buy this today. So I do consider
not asking me for permission, but discussing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Discussing.
Well, no,
it's a different word. But
she brings up.
No, it's not the same thing.
Okay.
There are men that are whipped and women that are whipped that go to someone and they won't.
No,
do it.
No, men
unless...
are whipped. Women are controlled.
Okay, that's true.
See how I control.
He says pointing. No, it's interesting too because Kevin, I've noticed as married men, I think that Kevin and I are kind of similar. I don't think he obviously doesn't go to the lengths that I do to insult my wife. I don't know. Maybe you could speak on this.
Do I?
Has he ever called you the C word?
No.
See, he's doing great.
Duke. Cupcake. You're my little cupcake.
But I am saying that I think it's interesting that I think that you make a valid point in that I never thought of it being that way where women are controlled and that I can do pretty much whatever I want because in my head, I know what's best for our financial situation. Let's use the example, like if I wanted to go buy something, because I'm the one who manages the finances, I have a complete understanding. If there's a huge purchase, I've done it. I've bought cars without talking to my wife. Now,
they were gifts.
They were for her, you know what I mean? Or I'll go to her and I'll say, you know what, we got to get a car. Yeah. And she kind of just says, okay, because she trusts that I know what's going on and what needs to happen. But then there's, for 13 years of being together, there's the thing of it's like, I leave and you drop $100. What did you need that had to happen and had to wait until I was gone for 5 days? So you, when you said that, it made me think. I'm like, oh, I obviously I control her.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm as curious.
You're.
Well, that's what makes me think. I wonder. I think that that's what meshes. I think that guys who are whipped need controlling women, and then women. I don't know if it's a need. The guys that I know that are with girls that kind of say this is what's going to happen in the quote unquote bitchy wife.
Yeah.
They need that. They need that direction. I don't know that every woman that I know that has a quote unquote controlling husband needs that, but I think they find a little bit of comfort in it. I don't know. I know Natalie does. I know that she kind of, not that she's against it, but I know that she likes the idea. She doesn't have to worry about the finances.
So you've been together for 13 years and you're still having the same arguments.
Oh, yeah.
That's uplifting.
Honey, they tell you that in like premarital.
Yeah.
The arguments you have now, you will have
forever.
Yes.
What happens, here's what I can say in my own experience. Is
some light at the end of the tunnel here.
Yeah.
I don't think I can argue about money for the next 13 years.
You're going to have to, but here's what happens, and it's not reassuring, but what I have found, I can't say that everybody does this. What I have found in my experience is that you become numb to it. Mm. Like you become more and more tolerant.
Does the argument become practiced?
Yes, I see what you're saying. And that it's almost like now we have a script that we're going to go through this and then there's going to be an end to it. And it's just going to be repetitious in that way for a while. And then eventually for me, what it was is that I realized I'm behaving like an insane person because I'm doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So what I did was I changed it up where I stopped yelling at her about it.
Started hitting.
And I started talking. I haven't gotten to hitting yet. But maybe that's 15.
Kat, what would you prefer?
Hitting or talking?
Yes.
Talking.
Or yelling.
Or yelling.
Talking.
Name calling?
Talking.
Foot massage. Really?
I don't like
football. Here's another example that it's not a money fight, but it's like I come home.
Is that like the money dance at a wedding?
Yes.
I'm so angry. Ah, quarters to the face.
The fight that we've had is that for almost as long as we've been together, I've been working on the road. And especially when I do these Oasis events, I come back and I get up at 1:00. I'm up at 1:00 in the morning, local time. I land here and I come home and I'm a bear. I'm a complete dick. I'm willing to admit it. This last time,
you're like
Natalie,
a bear's dick. Oh,
pink and like a little lipstick with just enough hair on around.
But a bear's what I imagine would be really angry.
Yeah. It would bite you.
Like barbed.
But sleep in the winter. stores up on a lot of vagina in the spring and the summer and the fall and then just goes dead.
Adds all
dead
that limp. Fat to it. Yeah. Yep. Let's move on.
No Christmas sex for this bear dick.
You win.
Okay. But my point was I came home and Natalie decided to make some brownies, right? Mm-hmm. Now, she gets these wild hairs up her ass to do things. So she cracks some eggs and puts them into the mix. And then, only then, decides to look at the expiration date on those eggs. And then decides to come to me, someone who has had 4 hours of sleep, no voice, is exhausted from flying across the country.
This happens
and say,
all the time.
Do you think, stuff like this. Do you think this is going to be okay? I don't know. And here's what happens. What my wife gets is the angry Justin from the future.
Right.
Because I'm talking about this practice fight. Oh, I got to go turn that timer off.
I'll turn it off because I have to do stuff.
Whoa.
She has to go take her birth control.
Yeah. If you don't mind bringing me that throat coat when you get a chance, Kat, I would love you for more than what I already do. I was going to say forever, but.
You can love her forever. I made a promise to, like a legal binding contract.
Right? That's scary. But here's my point. So I know the future because I know that, I know that the fight is going to last forever, and I know what it's going to get to. So here's what I said. I just start yelling at her. I'm like, why do you do this? Why do you do this? She's like, what's your deal? I know you're tired, but you don't have to be so mean. I go, why isn't the answer ever that you just have to figure shit out? Why isn't that ever the solution? The solution to you is always, I don't have to be mean. It's never, you know what, why don't I take my head out my ass and figure stuff out before I need to ask you?
Is this why your voice is raw? No.
That's why it's not better sooner.
That's what you get there.
Yeah, exactly. So, and here's my point. What she doesn't take into account is that I know that she's going, I'm going to tell her there's nothing wrong with the eggs because there was nothing wrong with the eggs. But
she
still
wants reassurance.
No, because here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell her there's nothing wrong with the eggs. And then she's going to make the brownies. They're not going to come out exactly the way they do to her. In her fucked up head, she thinks they always come out the same, and they're not. They don't. And so then she's going to taste them. She's like, these taste funny. I think it's those eggs. I think it's there's something wrong with it. I don't.
So
think
she'll, you're saying she's going to bother to go through all the steps?
Yes.
To prove.
What if you offered that she needs to go buy more eggs? But would then she just be like, oh, I don't really think I want to go out and buy more eggs.
Yes.
I'll just try it with these.
It's a dead end road for me because if I say, you know what, dump it, go get new brownie mix. She's like, well, now we wasted the whole brownie mix. So now her solution is she's going to try and spoon out the egg and just figure the brownie mix doesn't need the teaspoon of brownie mix I'm about to take out of it.
Okay.
That's what she's going to do.
That's a sensible choice.
And then
choice.
She's going to get frustrated because she's going to dump out a quarter cup of brownie mix at some point during this process or that there's still going to be egg moisture in there.
Yeah.
So there's no way to get it out. And so no matter what I do, I can see... Like Sam in Quantum Leap. I know all of the variable. That's not the right answer. The psychics in Minority Report. That's a better one. I see all the variables pan out. Or no, Nicolas Cage in Next.
Oh, man. I've missed you.
I could see all the examples and I can react to them. And then it comes to, so where I am is I'm 4 hours ahead in the fight. That's why I'm already angry. I've Nicolas Caged and I've reacted to all of her little bullshit things she's about to say or do, no matter what she does.
Oh,
and
what
I come
movie
out of,
did you just say?
Next.
Yeah.
That's the one where he could see 3 minutes into
the
future.
All the possibilities.
Yeah. And then, he dodges bullets. It's pretty badass for people hating it, but I like everything.
Why do people hate it? That sounds great.
It was a pretty good movie.
I would like to say that it's very similar to a book called Blink by Ted Dekker.
Based on that book.
Is it?
No.
When I saw the previews, I was like, is it based on that book?
What's Blink about?
A guy that can see in the blink of an eye all the possibilities. So if you were, the next thing you're going to say, how we would react to it, if you were to get up, what would happen, all that kind of stuff. And there's a love interest and they're running from people in the Middle East. I think she's a princess. And
is it a thing he could turn on and off? Like, or is it just whenever, like you ask
it's
him a question and he blinks, he's like, oh, fuck.
It happened to him at the beginning of the book. So he didn't have it his whole life. And so he's trying to figure out how to control it, how to use it, how to probably.
But if you go to him and say.
Prince of Persia? Pretty sure this was Prince of Persia.
That's
no,
funny. if I go to him and say, what do you think I should put my password to be in my email account? And he blinks, he's like, oh, and then he sees every possible, that's a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that'd be overwhelming.
That's what he does? In a blink of an eye, he can see all of those?
Uh-huh.
How does
I think to about like 30 seconds out. And as the book goes on, I think they get stronger, the powers. So you can see it like
further
out. But
what is every company, everything you can say, should I take this parking
spot?
Blink.
Well, it's more, it's not mundane stuff like that. It's like he's rescuing a girl. So they're in a shack and there are people pulling up outside. So he sees if we go out the front door, what's going to happen? If we go out the back door, if we surrender here, if we do this, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm. For the purposes of telling a story, he's more choose your own adventure psychic where he can go this way
like,
or follow the
road. But like pre-choose your own adventure in a way. Because to choose your own adventure, you make the choice, you experience it, and then you can go back and make a different choice.
Exactly.
Yeah. This, you get the ability to kind of peek into the next page and then dial back and read all of them. It hurts my brain. I love it.
It's a good book.
I'm going to have to read that.
Yeah.
Has it got any werewolves or vampires?
No, but we're listening to Twilight on audio. Do you want to tell your fans that?
I'm sure. We're listening to Twilight on audio.
Woohoo!
Fans.
Yeah.
Somebody, we made a trip up to San Francisco this past 2 weekends ago. and Catherine hinted
I go by Catherine and Kat.
That's your radio name.
Yes.
Catherine.
Or Grace.
Isn't that one of those you hate? Kate you hate.
Kathy.
Kate is cute. We tried to give her the nickname Katie for a blink of an eye, and it didn't stick.
Then you saw all the possibilities that would happen with it.
Oh, Katie's stupid.
I'm okay with changing the subject, but the fans may want to go back to what we were talking about with the whole controlling and controlled, because I distracted with a story of my own.
So we're listening to Twilight. We're on chapter 8. I love it. I can't wait to listen to more.
Are you talking about Twilight or the controlling issue from before?
Go back to the controlling issue.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Tell me about the controlling issue.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm saying it's not the same. It's not like you are controlling me, and so I know I can't buy anything or make any decision until I consult you first. And it's not that you can't buy things. You're not wanting to buy something, coming to me and saying, can you say yes or no? Can I have it? Like, I'm your parent. But I feel like we need to talk about it, to hear why you want it, weigh the pros and cons, what does our financial thing look like, and all that.
See,
kind of
what
thing.
And what I feel when
include
I
include in and included.
Right, and what I feel when I'm doing that is it's a way of you, in a blink of an eye, being able to see all the possibilities so that you're okay. Because in all the months that we've been married,
yeah,
you've never told me that I can remember no, or I've never walked away from something deciding. Maybe I have, but I feel like if I want something, you read that in me and I get it.
Yeah.
Yes, because I have a weak spot for you.
Oh.
But when you just buy stuff without asking me, it does.
Yeah, so that's what I'm describing.
This is very interesting to me.
That I have that by giving you the opportunity to work out any concerns you have about purchasing something.
Well, okay, go ahead.
It allows you to have buy into it. Yes. Now that I say it, I do remember there are some things that I have not. Yeah. Some big ticket items that I talked about getting. The Super Pups
drawing.
Pad that everybody on this podcast wanted me to buy, except for you.
Yeah, we talked about it for
several
weeks.
No,
that's not that I didn't want you to buy it.
No, I know.
Bad guy. I get my own podcast.
Your own podcast?
Yes.
This is yours now? What are you calling this podcast?
I said I will go get
my
own.
She's gonna,
that's even
she's
funny.
She's going to do reaction videos like on YouTube to this podcast.
No, but it's not that I didn't want you to. I did, but it was also for the cheap version, half $1,500. That's easier to say.
Now, just because it gives me a frame of reference. In your parents' relationship, did your mom go do things or dad go do things willy-nilly without checking in, or was there always an obligation?
Well, my mom was in charge of the finances. Mm-hmm. She did the taxes, balanced the checkbook, and she was also in charge of buying the groceries and mm-hmm. shopping with all the clothes. So my dad checked in with her. I guess he would let her know if he had withdrawn money or written checks. And
stop knocking the table.
Someone's coming.
Not for lack of a better term, his ignorance is he had no idea what was going on. Really, I mean, maybe an overall idea, but
Yeah.
The day to day function, he didn't know.
I think he knew in general how much we spend on groceries, but not like each trip.
That's so interesting because you guys have basically described the same issue that Natalie and I have to a T, except for my issue stems from her mom does whatever she wants and her dad just kind of sits there and complains about it. So what Natalie's issue becomes is that I am not willing to just stand by
and
let it happen.
Complain about it.
Yeah. She got stuck with my dad, who will get in your face and tell you how stupid you are about doing what you're doing, which is not great either. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
So that's why I was just curious about why that happens, because like I have issue with that. If I want something, I'll go to her and go, I don't know if I should get this. And she always is like, nah, get it. Yeah. And I always am second guessing myself going, is she telling me this because she thinks it's a good idea? Or is she telling me this because she wants me to have something? Or is she telling me this because she thinks it's going to be a bargaining token to get what she wants later?
One isn't true, but naturally you would think of that
because,
one.
Because of my parents' relationship and who my dad is raising me, you know, everything was a business transaction. Mm-hmm. It was all negotiation. Mm-hmm. Everything was negotiated down to feelings. You know what I mean? Like how you fit into the, you know, there's a hierarchy within my siblings. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't bother me because it's like a,
well, that's how you were raised.
Yeah. I'm a tiger that was born blind.
Fascinating. I feel like I should talk like you to fit into this podcast.
No, don't.
Okay. So in my family,
I could go back to Sam Elliott. In my family,
I didn't have a mother that wanted to buy stuff willy-nilly. I didn't have a father that wanted to buy stuff willy-nilly. I had a mother and a father that wanted to buy stuff willy-nilly. Was that good? I wanted to set
that
up.
Great.
Yeah, it was great.
Good. Was that good?
It was funny.
You
had
to say willy-nilly like three times.
I don't think your dad doesn't listen to it, does he?
No, I don't think he knows what a podcast is.
It was very cool and cute. I feel bad using the word cute because it sounds condescending.
Nah, he's adorable.
But he mentioned how that he had all this stuff left over and that the plan for your mom and him was to sell this stuff and use that to fund their retirement. So essentially they gathered, like for you to describe, they were buying things willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Having heard the story from him was like, well, that's them investing for their future. You know what I mean? We're buying all these things so that we could sell them as assets when we retire and live off of the Beanie Baby income and stuff
like
that.
That was my mom approaching the age of 60 going, hey, my job is to crawl around strangers' houses with a measuring rod to compare their home to the value of other homes.
Yeah.
And it requires a lot of movement that over 60, I might not be able to do. So maybe we should just sell all those stupid Beanie Babies that I've got in the garage.
That's so awesome. I like the idea of it being more like, we're going to get all these things. Like, because it's that's real, but it's more sitcom funny for it to be like, these Beanie Babies are going to be valuable forever.
Yeah, they actually go up in price. See, this is an investment in your future.
Pogs.
Everybody wants a pog. Really? You had pogs?
I think so. Were those little like cardboard?
Milk caps. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Supposedly from milk jugs in Hawaii, but I don't know if that's true. That's what the story we were told.
Maybe where the idea originated from.
To print an image on a milk carton tab and then collect it and play a pog. There was a game.
Yeah. You had to flip them.
Like marbles or
something? Yeah.
They're kind of. Do you feel more reassured now to know that you're going to have the same argument for a long
time? No, because I do know that you don't have all the same arguments you used to have before.
Yeah, you're right.
And so they do whittle down. And
but it's because, here's the reality though. Like the reality is because I'm more willing to go, that's my wife.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you
declare her perfect.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe from the outside, from my perspective, I'm accepting her for who she is.
That's
whereas
initially,
I'm like, here's the mold that I have, and I'm going to keep pushing and I'm going to keep cramming until you fit into this damn thing, and then everything's going to be fine. And it not for the sake of manipulating her, but it's for the sake of like, listen, this is for everybody's good. Like, you're going to be happier because I'm so much better at living than you are. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this realistically.
You are. I mean,
I'm better prepared.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Although it turns out she's a pretty badass salesperson.
Oh, my God. It's just weird. It's this weird thing. And it's easy for me to say because she's not here because it's so fucked up. But it creates this weird thing when I'm getting stuck.
It's a lot of words he's saying. What is he saying?
I talked to these guys about the real estate deal that she's doing for her friend.
Yeah.
And she nailed this guy who's probably been doing real estate for 10 to 15 years in this negotiation where he was trying to come back to get something for his client and she wasn't willing to back down. And he stupidly said something to the effect of, well, you know, it won't be an issue. I'm sure the house is clean. And Natalie, without even missing a beat, said, well, if it's clean, then why are we having this conversation? And stopped. Mm-hmm. Met him with silence. And then the guy, it's like that silence tactic.
Who's on the other side of the phone going, punching his arm.
I don't even think he was that aware of what's going on. Like he immediately just, I could hear him. He just immediately started backpedaling.
Mm.
Like she painted him into a corner. Mm. And it was weird because it creates this weird thing where it turns me on, to be honest, to be completely honest, where I'm like, wow, look at that. She's so powerful, fucking smart.
Yeah,
that's hot.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it takes me out of my comfort zone because
she could control you.
Not
she
control
could whip
me.
You into shape.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
I thought she doesn't need me.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought because in my model, my mom needs my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? She's the one who needs that guy. And that's unfair to say. I mean, she could live on her own, but she's the one who likes the idea that my dad takes care of everything. She also likes to complain about how he takes care of everything. Just like a guy who's pussy whipped likes to bitch about his nagging wife. But if he got divorced, I've seen it happen.
Yeah,
my grandfather did it. He divorced the nagging bitch and then just went to another one.
Found another one. See, I'm a little older than you two children, and I grew up in the 80s.
11 months.
That's right, little girl. I was infused with the fear that the Russians were going to blow us up in nuclear war because I was a Cold War kid, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yes.
You see, because you're too young.
11 months made all that difference?
I think it really did.
Because
you're an MTV generation, and I'm in the Gen X. It's like that's where that line
you're
was.
You're seriously going to sit across from this table and tell me you're a Cold War kid.
Okay. What year were you born?
79.
Yeah, 77. So let me. Pop music was out in your year. I had Star Wars. Don't argue with your elders.
Right. He's so controlling to you.
11. It had to have been 13.
It's what I like.
It was 13 months.
Right now, I'm turned on by what he just did.
But here's my point. Just try to keep up, youngins. I did grow up thinking that the world was going to end throughout my entire childhood because my parents would say some of the darkest stuff about, you know, even the invest in property because even after the war, it's the only thing that's going to be here. Things like that. Yeah. I grew up thinking imminently that we were all going to be in a nuclear holocaust. So I think that I have chosen the friends in my life based on who I think could survive in a post-apocalyptic world.
Wow.
Nope. Well,
are you casting a role-playing game right now?
No, oh, I wish.
That's like your circle of friends.
But I've chosen people in my, the people I like the
most.
How much
time do we have left? Because this is a great topic.
We got 20 seconds.
Oh, so hoping you're going to say 20 minutes.
Nope. Sorry. We were good. Now 13, 12,
okay,
11. Should
so
I just count for the rest?
Nope.
Cat loves it when I count.
On this show or just in general?
Five,
general.
Four.
What's happening?
Three. One time, and he's like, okay, you have 30 seconds and you have to go home. And I was like, no, but I just.
And I started counting.
Story. Wait, don't
and
you live together?
He kept.
It was when we were dating.
Oh. He counted through it three times because I couldn't think of what I wanted to say because he was just like 30, 29, 28, 27. I was like, you
She's
can't
like,
hear
oh.
me if I'm.
I said, yes, I can. 20. 19, 18. She didn't think it was funny.
Hold on. So I got to get back to this. You are yeah. looking, you. So you create your circle of friends
yeah, yeah, yeah.
based on who can help you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, not who
apocalypse.
Can help. Who we could be, you know, a formidable group of people in a post-apocalyptic world. Because you can't do it alone. Yeah. In a post-apocalyptic world, you cannot do it alone.
We're a pack society.
Exactly. You've got to have people. Other people around. So I look around in my life. I have my lovely wife, who's yeah. fantastic and a
so
nurturing,
what,
caring
what are her strengths?
Person.
Nurturing and caring?
Nurturing, caring. She's a healer and a helper. You got to have her there to take care of the homestead.
Got
She's
it.
The person to protect you. I've got you in my yeah. life who is
I'm
very...
dying.
you are dying.
I'm on bated breath. Right? No, no. I mean, wait, is that my role?
In the role-playing game.
Am I the bait? This is bullshit.
You're the sick one. No, no, no. No, you're very industrious and you're very brave. You're courageous and you're charismatic.
Lead you to the gates of hell.
You'll keep things fun even though we're all turning green and glowing in the dark.
Yeah.
But we have Natalie in our corner, and Natalie is the salesman. See, she will be able to meet other pods of people, negotiate with them, and suddenly she's walking away with a whole bunch of cans of food.
Woo-hoo.
And they've only got like a stick, and they thought that they got the better end of the bargain, and we're eating for a month and they got a stick. And then I think about your parents, if somehow this happens up there. I mean, your dad, I need him in our team for sure. Your yeah. mother is a nurse, so that all works.
Respiratory therapist.
I'll take it. Nuclear holocaust.
How often do you think about this?
All the time. Yeah. I told you, post-apocalyptic world.
This is my favorite part about your relationship, by the way.
I've never heard.
I know. That's what I thought. Like, I cannot tell you how magical it is and how happy it makes me to watch this. Not, and I don't mean this in a patronizing way. It generally is like becoming my favorite television show. When we hang out.
The K&K show.
Because it's just so new to me that by the time Natalie and I were married, we knew pretty much a good chunk of everything mm-hmm. about it. Or it was also that we were
you
too
know, so
young.
You grew up together.
Yeah, we
you
were too
learning.
Young to care
yeah,
about
sure.
these things. So it's just... It's fun to watch you say something, like to know that you're going to be with each other forever and go, how often do you think about this kind of stuff? And you know what I mean? It's just fun for me to hear. I like it. That's why
it's
I like this show
us.
Right now.
Do you,
it's lots
do,
of fun.
What kind of things do you think about on a daily basis?
I want to quit my job.
Oh. Folks, if you have a new job for Catherine, please write into the Second Funniest Podcast.
If you quit your job, okay. What would you do?
That's what I'm trying to figure out so that I can quit my job and go do it.
Well, Kevin seems to think that your strengths lie in nurturing.
It's true. I thought about going back to school for counseling.
Yeah.
At one point in my life, I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I also like art. Not art. Yeah. Photography.
Yeah.
That's what I meant
well,
to
Well, being
say.
Here in L.A., it might not. If you like nurturing and helping people, you could probably get a pretty good gig as a nanny. Or mm-hmm. an au pair.
I have thought of that, yeah.
Or a personal assistant.
That do.
That would be fun.
What if I told you tomorrow I will give you $1 million every day, but you have to do a job? What job would you choose? Any job at all.
I really like being a photographer's assistant when I did that.
An assistant. $1 million a day and not even the lead. All right, cool.
Too much pressure. To be I don't like it.
And you're a millionaire, so what do you care?
That's true. That actually, I was going to add that point on when you asked me at the very beginning of the show.
I remember.
What I thought of people out here mm-hmm. that are in the industry. And part of me was frustrated with them for their some of their self-absorbed selfishness.
Yeah.
But the other part of me sometimes is jealous because most all of them know exactly what they want to do out here. They want to mm-hmm. be an actor or not just that. They want to be in movies or they want to mm-hmm. be on TV. And Like, I have one friend who works at Starbucks, and she's a waitress, and she takes acting classes, and she goes out for commercials. It's like, she juggles it all. And I think that I get envious of people that know exactly what they want, and even if they're not doing it, they have that goal, and so they're striving for it. Because I think sometimes I don't know what it is that I want to do, and so I'm still figuring that out. And I feel like if I just knew what it was, then I could go after it or have a game plan.
Well, I think what would really help that is if we had a nuclear war.
Probably.
Because then your role is cast for you, and it's no longer your options.
They already said bomb in this show.
Don't stop saying that. So, you're going to get us all kicked off the plane.
You want to start the nuclear?
That would be an interesting way to become very popular in a podcast world.
Is do a bunch of...
Say all the phrases that Big Brother, like, what's the name of the computer system that is
Dave?
Listening and everything?
Oh, Big...
Huh? But, well, they call it Big Brother, but there's some kind of... this is good. Well, somebody right now is listening.
From 1984?
Saying something like Oracle or Asphyxiate. Yeah, I know.
Oh, scared me.
All right, well, this has been the second funniest podcast with our guest, Kat Miller. Ooh. Oh, I did have one question. What's it like to change your last name? Because Justin and I will never have to do that.
You know, I haven't done it yet. Well, but
do people call you Kat Miller at all?
They do.
What's that like?
It's weird. I like it. I'm liking it more and more. And I'm going to like it better once I've officially changed my name. But I haven't gone through the legal process yet. The Social Security and driver's license. So whenever I sign anything, I write my maiden name.
You're not even married to me.
Yeah, it's true.
It's so funny, too, because it's also, I think, has a lot to do with the fact that we were young. But, like, that was first thing. As soon as we came back.
That's right, yeah. She was
all about it. Natalie was like, she went to the DMV. She did everything.
Well, I want to, but my job put me in negative vacation hours for my honeymoon, so I'm not allowed to ask for...
Well, sorry.
No, not you. It's them.
Sorry.
They weren't legally allowed to do it. Anyways, so yeah. Once I start getting the time off, then I will go to the Social Security office.
Here's what I'll do.
I think he's cutting us off the air.
No, he's adding drama to what my proposal is going to be.
Oh.
I'm home. So I can be your personal assistant. I can go get you the forms and turn them into the DMV and to the Social Security department.
That's a great idea. Because I can mail it in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, why would I mail in my driver's license, original copy, and my marriage certificate? Doesn't that seem dumb to you?
Mm-hmm. Now he's cutting us off.
This has been the second funniest podcast.
Oh, and you said I could talk in an English accent.
Oh, yeah, go.
That was it. All right. Thank you.
Justin, you got any, should I do these plugs again for you?
No, I got it. November 30th through December 5th, I'm going to be at the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama. I changed that Ice House date to go to Alabama, so I'm coming there. December 9th through the 12th, I'm going to be at JD's Comedy Cafe, or I think it's now called the Comedy Cafe, or the Milwaukee Comedy Cafe.
It's a lot of names.
I know. They're in a transition phase. They got married, and they haven't had time because they're in negative vacation hours.
That sounds like a lie.
All my stand-up dates are on justincomedy.com.
That's right. Don't forget to take our survey and drop your $2 to us every month so that we can pay for this. Because
secondfunniestpodcast.com.
Nobody's paying.
I think it helped last week when we, or the week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. Fuck you. sorry.
That'll get more.
That was Sam Elliott. That wasn't me. Fuck you.
Jacob.
he's good.
What was I going to say? Oh, we had people. We had David. I think it was David. I'm going to be so mad if I messed up your name. But he added the subscription because I said that we have more subscribers for the Dad Podcast. And then, boom, we get a new subscriber.
Nice. We also had a bunch of jumps on the Facebook page as well for likes, I noticed. I meant to ask you earlier.
Do that more.
It was like 120 people this past week.
It's a great
week.
Way to help spread the word about the show. And go to the secondfunniestpodcast.com and take the survey. Because the more information you guys give us, that's what takes the show in the direction that it's in now. With me taking a secondary role, losing my voice.
You're permanent, right?
Your voices have been heard.
Yeah.
Mine will now be not.
Kat will always be here. Next time, Jordan Rosa will be with us on the Second Funnest Podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah. And for the next couple weeks, he'll be with us. In the meantime, don't forget to call 408-228-4911. Give us all your questions. Let us know what you're thinking of the show. And maybe someday we'll play those on the air. In the meantime, on behalf of my wife, Catherine Miller, and my best friend, Justin Warsham, this is Kevin Miller saying, okay, bye.
Remember when Jacob said it?
That was pretty funny. He's probably saying it right now.
No, he's dead.
Dead?
Asleep. Oh, God. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Next week.
I'm having a baby.